Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for
Let
your life.
Let me hear you say O-V-Ho.
O-V-Ho.
Say O-V-Ho.
O-V-Ho.
Then step this way. Step that way. Then step this way.
Wait.
Step that way.
Now
hey,
step.
My friend.
Step this way.
Are we
step
live
this way. Hey, hey, one more time.
Then step this way.
Okay.
Step that way. Then step
over
this
here.
Way. Step
Go over
that
there.
Way. Are you my friend?
Are you my friend?
Are we live?
Okay.
Then step this way, step that way, then step this way, step that way.
Woo! Kendrick with the heat, Kendrick with the heat. Ha ha ha. Wait, hold on. You guys want to hear the beginning real quick?
Psst. I see dead people.
Mother on that beat, ho.
Ay, mustard on the beat, ho.
Okay, I'm done. Welcome to the True Tone Show. I'm your boy, Amante Hall, and I'm very, very excited to do this episode. It's going to be a good one. You guys stick around. I'm going to see you guys on the other side. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Don't be a stranger. Don't be a stranger. All right. See you guys on the other side. Step this way and step this way. Hey, run for your life. Okay, I'm just kidding. Welcome back to another exciting episode. I'm your host, Amante Hall, and what a day. Hip hop blaring up. Got some cool stories to talk about. I want to jump right in. I'm going to talk a lot of sports. So, first thing on the docket, David Njoku, tight end for the Cleveland Browns. Hasn't seen another team but the Cleveland Browns. He's been very fortunate. Said this about the city of Cleveland.
Honestly, I feel like Cleveland raised me from a boy to a man. I got drafted at 20 years old here, you know? So that was 7, 8 years ago. I'm 27 now. I turned 28 in July. So just, you know, becoming a man in this city, it means more than what most may think. So with my with Parsons and the other, you know, idiot, just, you know, talking down on Cleveland is just something I won't accept. You know, no matter what happens, I will never accept it. So just with that being said, respect the city, bro. I mean, it's very simple. It's not, you know, it's very simple.
Respect
thing.
The city, bro. David Njoku. Been here 6 years. I've been here longer than that. Born and raised. Okay. I respect this. He doesn't have to do this. Too many times, players, people, artists, entertainers, anybody you can think of. Cleveland ain't nothing in Cleveland. Most of the time, those people have never come to Cleveland. Respect my city, bro. I like that. David Njoku responds to, you know, Michael Parsons, linebacker for Dallas Cowboys, who made a comment live in front of David Njoku. And David Njoku didn't wait to check him. He checked him in that moment like, nah, man, that's not cool. Don't talk about Cleveland. Cleveland's Cleveland. It's like the fun thing to talk about Cleveland in this way, but Cleveland has produced some bangers. Rock and Roll, Halle Berry, LeBron James. Okay, it's Akron, but it's still part of Cleveland. It's close. It's close. And I don't like people pooping on a place you haven't been. And if you have been, I get it. Most people who live places don't like being there very long. I get it. But this has to stop. Cleveland is a great place. You check it out. Bring you and your funny looking person, whoever that is. I'm just kidding. But Cleveland's a great place. I will not stand for the disrespect for Cleveland. I can't stand it. Can't stand it at all. And I'm hoping the Browns have a good year. I'm hoping David Njoku has a good year. And I'm not necessarily like the biggest fan of David Njoku, but he turned it around last year. He's gaining a ton of respect from me, but not only me, but other football heads in the league and the sports universe. It's good stuff, man. I appreciate that. Where's the... Oh, it's not a joke. Not a joke, people. But I'm very happy that David Njoku, who is a player who's actually respects where he was drafted, and I think that's always some good stuff. Okay, I was getting my hair cut today. Okay, I was getting my hair cut. I was talking to my barber. Does a phenomenal job, Lewis. He's awesome, right? He's cutting my hair, you know, lining me up, making me look good. And I, you know, barbershop talk is fun. Once in a while, a topic will come up. And sometimes they have the TV going in the back. And in the background was ESPN showing what appeared to be Jamal Murray throwing a heat pad on the court, then a towel, hitting the ref. Well, kind of. It hit his ankle or his heel. But the heat pad went on the court, slid under Anthony Towns' legs, right? First thing I think of is like, my man has to apologize. Doesn't feel bad. He's pissed. Immediately. Just pissed. Furious. Players are looking like, whoa. He just threw a heat pad from the bench. Okay? From the bench. From a spot that you clearly, was no accident, you clearly see him throwing a heat pad on the court. Very disrespectful. Because he's losing to a team that he was supposed to sweep. And that story is another story that the David and Goliath story, you know, here's the champions from last year facing a team that they should just run right through like they did the Lakers, which people really didn't want to see the Lakers and the Nuggets that quick, but it happened and they lost. That boy, Anthony Edwards. That's another conversation. I feel like people should stop comparing him to Michael Jordan. He's not Michael Jordan. But anyway, I had this thought. If you're that player who has a moment, you're competitive, you want to win a game, and then all of a sudden you lose it and you do something like that. I think the best thing is you got caught, bro. Just acknowledge it. Hey, I messed up. I let my anger get the best of me. Unacceptable. I accept any punishment I receive, and I apologize for putting other players at risk by me losing my cool in that moment. I just love the game that much. Boom. That's the statement. That's all he had to say, right? But instead, he was asked by a reporter, and this is what this man said. I'm reading his comment. I mean, it is what it is, and I take everything in full responsibility. So on to the next, meaning on to the next question. Murray said Wednesday via ESPN. Yeah, on to the next one. I mean, 2 days ago. There's nothing for me to say about it right now. What? It feels like he... Oh, man. This generation is soft. They're soft, bro. They're soft. And I was telling my barber this. I was like, this generation's soft. If you didn't like somebody, you go fight them. And whoever wins, wins. This generation now, if you fight, you lose. You go get your gun, you come back, you shoot them. They're soft, bro. Like, you were getting your butt kicked. And instead going to the gym and working on it, you do one of the lamest things ever. You throw a heat pad. And my man got hit in his pockets for $100,000. Listen to me. Listen, NBA. I know that if Jamal Murray gets suspended for a game, it darn near seals the deal that the Nuggets will lose. Okay? Outside of Jokic, I'm not saying he can't blow up, but they're getting smacked, okay? This is a bad look on the biggest stage, the playoffs, and you won't discipline your superstar, but you'll discipline Draymond Green. I know he's a constant repeater. You know, he's a constant repeater of kicking people in the junk. I get that. But this is unacceptable, man. If Jamal Murray was the receiver of this and his teammate almost got hurt, he would not feel this way. this is not acceptable. I think the NBA dropped the ball on this one. I think Jamal Murray should have been suspended at least a game. At least a game, maybe two games, honestly, because this can't be acceptable. And I think his response is weak, and it goes to show you that the NBA has business in mind. But the message it sends to fans is, if you're good enough, you can slide. Now, some people may think that's not a big deal, but I definitely do. If you're an athlete not paying attention, all of a sudden something under you, you could tear your Achilles. You can get hurt by anything. So I don't think it's very acceptable for him to do that. And it's quite frankly, it's very disappointing. On to some other news. Do you guys like documentaries? I can't wait. I'm going to check out this documentary. Everybody's been talking about it. You know how something comes out and then everybody talks about it and then you want to go watch it? And so I heard about this Tyler Perry documentary. I'm going to check this Tyler Perry documentary out. And then if I like it, I'll come back on the show and talk about it with you guys. But I heard he gets pretty raw about things that happened to him when he was a kid. You know, I know that he went from sleeping in his car to having the biggest film production set up in the United States, maybe even the world. It's bigger than Hollywood's. And I know like a lot of people, a lot of producers, directors want to film their movies there because it's just top notch, right? And Tyler Perry gets a lot of flack for, you know, being a black man who dresses up like a woman. He used this thing to build his empire, which, you know, say what you want, I grew up liking it. You know, I like Tyler Perry. I guess I didn't really think about all the stigmas that came across as, you know, black man in dresses and things like that, but it was very, I got to see the place when I was in Atlanta for a little bit. It's amazing, decked out, super incredible. Couldn't be more happy for him, but I'm definitely gonna check that documentary out, see what happens. Okay, if you are a big, you know, like Disney X-Men fan, I thought it'd be cool to kind of tell you guys about, I guess Disney has given Airbnb permission to make replicas of the Up House. And I'm like, this is crazy. And I guess they're gonna make the X-Men one. Like, would you do that? Like, if you had an opportunity to live in a replica house of Up, would you live in it? Like, I mean, let's just say it's in the air. Would you do that? And I don't know if I want to live in the air like that. I don't even like heights. I barely like looking out my window, and I'm on like the second floor. You know, I don't even like looking. I get afraid of like random house like heights. What do you think would happen if I like got up and, you know, look out the window and balloons are holding me in the air? But it's not literal. I mean, it's probably like, it's more of an experience thing, but I think that's pretty cool though. Made the X-Men one, and you wake up like Professor X and just roll around in your little cart and read people's mind. That's kind of cool. All right, so there was this massive story, I believe it was during COVID, of, you know, Brittany Griner kind of trying to come home from Russia, and she gets, I don't know what the word is. She gets seized. She gets, slipping my mind. But she gets held up, right? And she gets found with some weed. And she gets imprisoned. And the story that comes out, whether what you believe or whatever you feel towards her, you know, I got this email about someone asking me what my opinion was. She recently goes on to the show and talks about a little bit more, but it was to promote her book, I guess. She has a book coming out. It's called Coming Home. And one, are you guys interested in that? And two, should she be talking about what happened? And I guess speak your truth. I guess I'm assuming it was a very traumatizing experience. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, there was a plan. This was on purpose. They were going to use this. I knew this immediately when her name came up. This was the deal. And she talked about those of you who don't know, she is, Brittany Griner is a black queer woman, and they were trying to put her in the cell with the men. And I was just like, woo, yikes. And she was like, I'm not going in there. And that, honestly, that's crazy that that happened to her, as well as, you know, she was terrified. She talks about being terrified. She talks about being cold, and even, you know, the most recent one, and that is, you know, her cutting her hair. And that had to be so, like, belittling of a human. And I feel for her, you know, and it's unfortunate she got wrapped up in politics. Her physical body was wrapped up in politics because of her ability to dribble a ball. And, you know, some people made comments about whatever, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to read the book. It looks interesting. I might, you know, pick it up and read a couple of chapters and just see, but this is, the trauma is legit. And I'll tell you what, I don't think she's ever going to go back to Russia ever, 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 ever. Okay. One more thing on sports. So there was a story that popped up. It says racist artwork comparing LeBron James to monkey displayed in a school gym promotes investigation. Okay. So apparently this school decided it was going to let one of their students put up this display of LeBron James looking like, it says, eat monkeys, jump like monkeys. This is unacceptable. It says school district says they have no idea how and why racist monkey LeBron James art exhibited displayed proudly at school art show. Come on. You're not tricking nobody. We know what this is. This is unacceptable, people. This is straight boo-boo. Boo-boo. This is not acceptable. I was in shock that they were allowed to do something like this. That's disrespectful, man. And one, you know, first of all, if it was a black kid, they would say, I'm not gonna lie to you. Come on, people. You knew if some crusty, dry leg kid decided to put that up. I'm looking at it right now. This artwork takes time, dedication. I mean, it looks like a promo for like a cereal commercial. This is not, they knew what this was going on. You had to go on Adobe, which was probably provided by the school. You had to come up with the artwork, which the teachers had to approve. This, y'all ain't slick. This district should be in trouble. You know, the principal makes this statement. We want all of our students to feel comfortable. That's cap. That is so cap. And it's very disappointing. That's very disappointing. I'm going to move on. Speaking of other people's business, right? I make this statement sometimes. You should mind your business. It's not a new statement. It's old. You probably heard it from your parents. You probably heard it from someone who was defensive. They didn't want you to be in their business. But I don't normally talk about, you know, celebrity gossip. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't really care. But there was this narrative going out for a couple, like, months, maybe like a year, like, because Justin Bieber, right, this mega superstar kid, you know, just living it up, you know, crazy, come from Canada. The Canada boys, they be taking L's, but they also, oh, man. So apparently Justin Bieber pops up on his IG that he's having a baby. Man, congrats. But the reason why I said mind your business is because in the comment section I'm looking at it and people are saying, I thought y'all were getting a divorce. I'm just like, just because you don't see someone's life on social media, you don't see it on Facebook, doesn't mean that they're dead. Like, when did we do that?
If I don't see it on IG, if I don't see a picture, then there's no proof that you actually exist.
That's not true, people. That's not true. I guess this is like a perfect example of like why you should mind your own business. You know what I mean? Like, unless you're like really close to them, or you know them, or you're friends with them, it's like, who cares? I thought it was funny because a lot of people who are making statements in the media, like, they're getting a divorce, and all of a sudden they're having a baby. I think that's funny. Congrats to you, Mr. Beaver. Oh, baby. All right, so I found this really cool thing. I know today's heavy sports talk, but I found this really cool thing, and it's Cat Williams talking about golf, and I thought it was really cool, so I thought I'd share it with you guys.
It's this thing where 18 times they set you up with a challenge and they put obstacles and hazards in the way, and you have to try to navigate your way safely and try to do as much as you can, but you learn that if you do more than you can, you can't do that, and there will be things that happen. And so all of the things that I like about life in general are on the golf course. I'm saying I drink out here, I smoke out here, I whistle out here, I look at nature, I all the things that really mean something to me. Golf requires you to experience all those beautiful things, but then every shot requires you to block all of that out and just focus on the task at hand. And you don't have the opportunity of doing it again. You're going to do it once, and you're going to live with how that works out. And if you can get that on the golf course, you can translate that everywhere. The fact that you can have three magnificent shots in a row that has no bearing on your ability to three putt. like you can't afford.
I thought that was amazing, amazing point in life. And granted, it's a demonstration of how to be a great golfer, but if you were listening to the deeper meaning, he was talking about how life is that way. Like, sometimes you got to make decisions. And I think this is a great way to enter into the Truest Tone segment, and I'm going to end the show with this. And that is, you treat life like the day it is, and some days you're going to strike in, and some days you're going to putt into the water. You know, it's going to be one of those days. And sometimes you got to get a little muddy, and that's okay. You get, hopefully, God willing, you get another day, and then you get to start over. And when you're winning, it's not forever. So you gotta enjoy the season you're in. So I really appreciate that. If you're a golfing fan, you know, not a putt-putt is not golfing, but it's both fun, equally fun. But if you have the opportunity to get you one of them, I just want to go golfing with the suits. You know what I mean? Like, with the shirt, you got the dress pants, the dress shorts, you got the cool golf shoes on, you got the glove, and I want a cigar, and I just want to look, get the shades and the hat, and you just walk around. It's like, oh, I'm that guy. And just get on a golf cart and don't ever play. Just make it look like you played. Make it look like you played. But yeah, life is about enjoying the moment, not being afraid to swing and live with whatever it is. And you don't get a second shot at yesterday. You only get one shot at yesterday. And then it's today. And then tomorrow. So, yeah, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Was there truth to this conversation, or was it just noise? I'll let you guys decide. I'm your boy, Amante. I'll see you guys next week. Sorry. Next week, I'm going to be interviewing Lamar Houston, former NFL player. Wow, it's going to be really cool. We're going to talk to him about Box Tech. I'm excited to dig into his mind about his company that he's a co-founder of. So if you guys are interested in that, I can't wait. Lamar Houston next week. And till next time, I'll see you guys. Peace. Do 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 do